You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel hosting Dishin' and Swishin' on hoopfeed.com, your weekly podcast devoted to women's basketball. And I'm talking to one of the people that is an exceptional person off the court as well as a stellar performer on the court. And I'm pleased to welcome Ruth Riley to Dishin' and Swishin'. Ruth, how are you today?
I'm great.
Well, let's start by talking first of all about the Chicago Sky, the team that you're with now. And, you know, this is a team that coach and general manager Pokey Chapman went out and got in the offseason, not just you, but added Swin and Tisha Penichiero, and she just really loaded up LaCole Willingham on championship ring players. Can you talk about the current team and the makeup and how that's going, trying to put all this together with the young talent?
Well, we have an interesting mix of veteran players with championship experience, very talented young players. I think we have a mix of personalities, too, from vocal leaders like Swin Cash, you know, to more lead by example, you know, which would be Sylvia style. And so I think Pokey got the pieces together. Now it's just going to take a little time to mesh and get, I guess, clicking on all cylinders.
What was it in particular that appealed to you to make you want to come back to the East Coast and this, you know, that region of the country and join the Sky this year instead of returning to San Antonio?
Well, it was an interesting process as a free agent, and I grew up in Indiana, but going back closer to home, you know, I'm able to see family a lot more, meant something to me. But at the end of the day, I think Chicago is not only a great city, a great sports city for what I want to do on the court and off the court. But I really liked the team that Pokey had put together and the opportunity to use a different challenge for me to come.
One thing I'm sure that Coach Chapman is counting on is the most impressive stat to me that you have is since 2003, you have not missed the playoffs.
Huh. I guess I didn't realize that. Yeah, I mean, since Detroit, really. Just those first 2 years in Miami were a learning experience, and then, yeah, I guess that's true.
See what you can learn when you read the WNBA website. I find all these neat things. Let's talk for a second about the Shock, if you know what. I had a conversation that was pretty funny the other day when New York was into Connecticut. I was talking with Plynette Pearson and Kara Braxton, and we were reminiscing about the Connecticut-Detroit days and Coach Lambeer and the greetings that you guys used to get. And they were reminiscing about the fans with the bill with the signs with the little Bill's picture with the red circle over it.
Yeah, they love to hate on Bill, and he loved it too, honestly. I mean, they play Darth Vader music when he walks into the gym, and he loves playing the villain to other people, but to us, he was a great coach.
But those teams were just exceptional chemistry and just played incredible team ball.
Yeah, I mean, well, Connecticut historically has played well under Tebow's system. I think he gets the players to fit into that system, and they just buy into it and pretty consistent. And, you know, we had the same experience in Detroit where Bill had put the pieces together that, you know, he knew were going to fit the system that we played.
Well, that 2003 team in particular, I mean, here, that, you know, the team in 2002 was in last place, and then you joined the team and Cheryl joins the team that year. Swin was in there and Tweety, and next thing you know, you know, there's a championship, and you're MVP of the championship series.
Yeah, it was just a really unique situation where we had a lot of very talented players who really we hadn't seen anything up to that point in our careers on a professional level, so we were hungry, and we bought into a very selfless system where we would just go out and play hard night in and night out, and we all knew our roles, and we all pretty much executed those, you know, to the best of our ability, and I think that was, you know, the key to our success.
Well, one thing that has been always impressive is when it gets down to that final series, you have certainly shown to be such a big game player. I mean, you were the first person, I believe, I read to be both the MVP in the championship series and most outstanding player in an NCAA tournament.
Well, two very different scenarios for me. Obviously, in college, you know, a go-to player from pretty much most of my collegiate career. I think in Detroit, we had such a balanced attack that, you know, by default, I'm focusing on Cheryl and Swin and Tweedy. You know, they're pretty much going to say I was going to have to beat them. And, you know, I think that we're selfless enough to go to the person who was open at that time. That just happened to be me.
Well, again, here in Connecticut, they canceled the NCAA tournament that year after the Final Four when you guys beat Connecticut. There was no other games after that, so. We don't keep that in the record books here.
I see.
So, you know, going forward, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about is you played on the Olympic team, and this is a year where there is a break again for this during the Olympics. First, I wanted to ask you, can you talk for a second about what it's actually like to be on that medal stand and wearing that USA uniform? You know, what these players are going to be feeling like should they win the gold medal again?
Well, I mean, it's a very surreal feeling. It's just, there's something so special and unique about the Olympics that are unlike anything in college or in the pros. I mean, you know, it's an honor to represent your country. It's unique to have so many countries coming together, you know, I mean, literally being the best in the world. And obviously winning that, you know, it's such an amazing experience.
And now this year there's going to be that break. And, you know, that's something that, you know, in talking to, it's kind of interesting. I talked to some of the younger players, and they're not sure what they're going to do with themselves. But then I talked to some of the veterans. I talked to, say, Carol Lawson, and, you know, I'm not talking to, you got to be looking forward to having a little bit of time off in the middle of the season to heal those bumps and bruises that you get.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a unique situation taking 4 weeks off right in the middle of the season. But the way the girls play pretty much year-round, you almost have to embrace a forced break to some extent that where, you know, they're able to heal maybe some of the injuries that are coming. And I think for the younger players, too, who are coming out of college, you hit a wall, too. Just they've been playing for so long, going straight into the WNBA season. So whether they realize it or not, they're going to appreciate the break when it comes.
Yeah, it's funny. I was looking at some of the rosters, you know, that you've been a part of. And, you know, in 2003 until the early years, you know, you were the center and Cheryl was the forward helping pick you up. And now things have kind of gone the other direction and you got Big Sill on your team in Chicago and you're the power forward that's, you know, watching her back and picking things up.
Yeah, I think well, just the 4 years that I played in Detroit, Bill really kind of stretched me to be more like he was as a player. I guess I kind of mimicked his role on the offense with, you know, in college, I didn't leave the paint ever. Probably didn't shoot a face-up jumper ever. And so once I get to Detroit, Bill worked with me to extend my game, and I think that gives me the ability to play a little more outside in versus inside out. And then Sylvia, she's such a beast under the basket that, you know, it's a good complementary relationship there.
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. Now, you have played with and against Lisa Leslie, Yolanda Griffith, and some of the great posts in the WNBA's years. So the current crop, we've got Tina Charles, Sylvia Fowle. Where does this group fit in alongside those other players? I mean, I know they play different style of games, but yeah, this is an exceptional group of posts we've got right now.
Yeah, we do have just the talent coming in. The young girls are just so good. And obviously, Syl and Tina are physically gifted under the basket. I mean, they're so athletic and a big target and can finish well. It poses a challenge. And they're athletic enough to guard at the perimeter, too. I mean, they can guard fours off the dribble, and I think that gives you a different dynamic as a post player. So it's interesting to see how our game has progressed, and it's exciting that it's actually, you know, it's going in a very developed athletic direction.
Well, I mean, Tina at least is a reasonable height, but at least that, so you went out and joined Syl, so you didn't have to defend her. But unless you guys somehow end up with Brittany Griner, you're going to have to be doing some banging against the other big girl next year.
Yeah, I mean Brittany's a unique talent as well coming in, obviously, just with her athletic ability. And, these girls continue to work on their game. They're only going to get better, too.
Well, one thing that you did in San Antonio, which really interests me, is that really Dan Hughes expanded and let you explore more, is you took some good three-point shots out there in San Antonio. So never mind just being a face-up jumper like Coach Lambeer got you going there, but, now you're a three-point threat too.
Well, I think that's just where the program is, understanding spacing and making it hard on the defense. If you can expand your game and work on your shot. I mean, I worked with Olaf Lang, who is actually Sandy Brondello's husband. He's been my shooting coach pretty much since I've been in the league and just really helped me work on my shot. And I think that's something that I would encourage a lot of young players to do is, find a good position or a good shooting coach that's going to help you just develop different skills that you're not going to get on your own.
Well, the other things that I've got to talk to you about is you are the 2011 Kim Perrott Award winner. And there is no person in the league that I can think of that does more off the court to get involved in organizations and charity events as you do. Now, this year, now in Chicago, you've already participated in the Illinois No Kid Hungry campaign. And, of course, people that have followed your blogs and your writing on WNBA.com know about Nothing But Nets and also about Triad. Can you talk a little bit about, your activism and how you got involved in that and share some of these situations and these organizations with us?
Yeah, sure. I grew up in a situation where so many people have helped me along the way, and so now that I'm in a position to help others, it's something I'm very passionate about, and I feel like my success in basketball gives me a unique platform to do that, as well as just making it a priority to invest my time into others. And, whether it's here in the United States, I think the No Kid Hungry campaign is a great campaign that I've just started to work with here in Chicago. And, it provides free and reduced lunch to kids who qualify during the year, but during the summers where they're not going to get those meals otherwise, making sure that they are given a healthy, nutritious meal, that they wouldn't get otherwise. And Nothing But Nets is a unique thing for me because it's the first time I've actually traveled to Africa and I've seen some of the devastating effects of malaria. I mean, something we don't even think about here in the United States is one of the leading killers of children, on the continent. And so it's been great for me to be a part of that because it's something that I can bring back to our fans, and I think our fans appreciate the opportunity to do something good for others. And, they've been tremendous in supporting that campaign, and Triad Trust is the HIV/AIDS prevention using the tools that you can learn through sports in order to build leadership and to help reduce that in South Africa. So three different things, but all three that I'm very passionate about.
I think that it's phenomenal that you use it actually in your blog, the word transparent. And I think that is such a perfect description. You're authentic, you're transparent, you put it all out there, and you let everybody see what has gone on in your life and how you can give back. And I think that that's something that our athletes, both the women's players, the men's players, and in every sport, and everybody in every walk of life really can learn from. And I think that it makes you a tremendous role model for not only the youth of today, but also for your fellow athletes and players.
Yeah, I just feel like I've been through a lot. People have helped me through a lot. And a lot of times, the experiences you have not only build your character, but sometimes you go through something to help others. And, if you don't share that experience, you know, you're not able to make that positive impact in the lives of others. I mean, the struggles that we go through, I mean, there are thousands of people that are probably going through the same struggle, and it's just a matter of a lot of times bringing it to light so people feel okay about, you know, talking about it or getting help or awareness of a cause.
Well, I want to make sure that I mention to everybody that if you go to www.ruthreilly.com, you can follow Ruth's blogs, and there is information on how you can be a part of these organizations and help out as well, and how you can give. And that's something that really I encourage all of the listeners to be a part of and to at least check out and educate yourselves, because there's no stronger power than education.
Yeah, definitely. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, and speaking of education, I got to go back and I got to ask you, as this NCAA tournament run went through for the Irish, were you seeing flashbacks to 2001? Because I know that I sure saw it, with Notre Dame beating UConn during the regular season, UConn coming back and winning the Big East tournament, and then once again Notre Dame takes them out heading into the Final Four. I thought a national championship was well on its way.
Yeah, they were definitely close. Fortunately, we didn't have to go up against Brittany Griner. That was a senior. But, I mean, it's just great to see how the Notre Dame's program, how well they're doing on a consistent basis. And, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to Coach McGraw. I mean, obviously, I think the world of her, and I'm going to be biased in my opinion for sure. But, I mean, she's done a tremendous job. I think she is the winningest coach at Notre Dame. And, you know, like not only recruiting, but building the talent and, you know, making sure that X's and O's and you know, being able to get the best out of the players. So it's been exciting to watch. And it gives me something to talk about with Swin on my team now.
So do you give Swin the business about that stuff?
Oh, we, of course. I mean, we're great friends, but, you know, when our colleges go head-to-head, it's always for bragging rights.
Do you still keep in touch with the 2001 team? I know there was a big event this year celebrating the anniversary.
Yeah, I mean, one of the luxuries of playing in the WNBA, we play in a lot of the major cities, so I've been able to stay in touch with my teammates and obviously Neil being back at Notre Dame, but we were a pretty close group for a reason. I think we were successful on the court, so it's been fun to see how they've gone on life after basketball and see where they're at.
Well, I had Skylar on last year when she was a sophomore, and she talked about how after you guys won, she went to an autograph session in her AAU uniform and saw you guys, and her eyes were wide, and she knew that that's where she wanted to go.
I mean, she's done a great job, obviously, at Notre Dame. She's really transitioned into wonderful, I mean, point guard and leadership skills, the way she's improved her game, and I'm excited to see them play this summer, or this year coming up.
So are you ready to school Devereaux Peters in the post,
though? Devereaux and I are a little different players, but I'm happy for her. I think we couldn't find a better fit for her than Minnesota, learning from Tasha Williams. And obviously I played for Cheryl in Detroit. She's a great coach, and I think that it's a perfect place for her to be, you know, starting her rookie year.
So the league has been around long enough that we can play these fantasy games. Does your 2003 Shaq team, how does it hold up against last year's Minnesota team?
I think that would be a great matchup, honestly. Very similar styles, obviously, because Coach Reeves was there with us with the Shaq. And
right.
I think, you know, scoring in transition, but also being a good half-court execution team and then being able to stop people on the other end, and that's a deadly combination.
Well, I think that it would certainly be a great game. I think I'm going to pick the 2003 Shaq team to have taken that one. Well, Ruth, I want to thank you for taking time with me today, and I want to wish you and this guy the best of luck off season, except for when you play Connecticut. And let's see that team make the playoffs this year.
Definitely. Thank you so much, David.
You take care and good luck.
Okay.
Hey, this is Becky Hammond of the San Antonio Silver Stars, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
This is David Siegel welcoming you to this next segment of Dishin' and Swishin's podcast on HoopFeed.com. And one of my favorite coaches to talk to in the WNBA, a man that always is treated with respect throughout the league. Nobody ever has a bad word to say about him amongst his former and current players, something that I can really respect, and that's Dan Hughes of the San Antonio Silver Stars. Coach, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So, Coach, it's a new season. You know, when we're talking, it's one. Your team is 1-1. Tough loss in Connecticut, but it's really looking so far about the reshaping of the San Antonio Silver Stars, getting a little bit younger and working in some new pieces.
That's exactly it. You know, we started it a year ago, and it's in its second stage here. You know, where we've kind of gone with it a little bit. You know, we're fortunate to have, you know, Sophia Young and Becky Hammond kind of piloting this remake, you know, and that gives us a consistent piece to go to. But we're a little bit about blending a couple other elements that we think we need to really get our team in a position to, you know, we're 18-16 a year ago, and to really challenge for a WNBA title, you know, I think these pieces have got to become an important part of what we're doing. And we're growing with that right now.
Well, the Western Conference is certainly going to be a tough one this year, so home court advantage could turn out to be a real difference maker in the playoffs if you can get up into those couple of spots. But let's start by talking about those two veterans. It just seems that Becky and Sophia just get better as they go on. They don't get older.
Well, they're amazing 1-2 punch to coach, to be honest with you. One, they play together very well. They create a chemistry that's pretty rare. I guess the two of them have played together almost 6 years now, and you see that on the court, you know. But the other thing that they do, they've developed into our leadership. You know, that's where we can lean on a little bit as we kind of gain experience at other positions. But they also, you know, individually are complete players. Both of them do multiple things. You know, Becky Hammond scores, yes, but she's excellent with the basketball assist-wise. She has a real mentality that helps us run team. Sophia Young continues to amaze me because we can not only play through her to scoring, her rebounding has continued to get better from a year ago and what I'm seeing right now. And then the other thing is that Sophia is a penetration point that is athletically we're very fortunate to have.
Yeah, I mean, Becky at 8.5 assists per game right now, and Sophia at over 11 rebounds really speaks about exactly what you're talking about. You know, the one thing is, early on in the season, you've had a bunch of days off in between. I assume that you're going to try and get them a little bit more rest, though. Playing 34 and 32 minutes a game is going to be a little bit more than I'm sure you'd like.
Yeah, no, you hit it right on the head. You know, the thing that, you know, this is coach talk, but the first two games gave us some evidence about our team. I wish I was smart enough to perceive these things sometimes before we play, but sometimes it takes playing a little bit to understand what you got to do. We've got to bolster our rotation. We have got to put some pop into those players coming off the bench a little bit, because right now we're leaning a little too heavy minute-wise, as you said, and I think if we get that down just maybe 3 minutes apiece, 2 to 3 minutes apiece, that's where we'd like to sit over the course of the season with those two players.
Well, one of your bench players has certainly been a revelation, and it's great to see her back and healthy. And Shamika Christen, you know, leading the team in scoring off the bench, 15 points in 17.5 minutes. Yeah, you know, I'm sure that must be even more production than you expected at the start of the season.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we were in with the long haul with Meek, you know, just wanting to let her grow a little bit, but she's grown pretty fast, you know, and that's just a real pleasure to see, because I know, you know, I've been up close these last couple of months watching her work to get back on the court. And I remember the player we tried to guard, and I say tried, when she was in New York. And, you know, and it's just fun for me to see her grow back into being a basketball player.
And, you know, then the other person off the bench right now, as we continue to talk about the bench, is your rookie. You know, how are you feeling about Shanice Johnson right now? I mean, this to me, I looked at, you know, when you drafted Shanice Johnson, you know, it just seemed that this is 2 years in a row, first with Danielle and now with Shanice, that the perfect player seemed to fall right into your lap.
Well, that's a, you know, we were thrilled, and it's been fun watching her. You know, I typically don't throw rookies right away into the deep end, but she's just evolving, and she's going to be a very important part of the 2012, let alone future of this organization. You know, she's really got some wonderful athletic ability to go with some skill that is quite apparent. The thing I like most about her is that she's potentially a basketball player that can make the right basketball play. She can pass it. She can shoot it. She can physically get to points to get fouled. And that's not always the case when a player comes into this league. It's a matter of her just getting acclimated to playing against the greatest players in the world.
Well, and Dan, let's talk about the tough part. Let's talk about Danielle Adams. She is certainly a lights-out scorer, but, you know, the conditioning, you know, seems to be a little bit more of a problem this year after playing. You know, last year you had the benefit of Texas A&M coming right into the league. You know, she's only got 3.5 rebounds a game, and you can only get 24 minutes out of her right now.
Yeah, and 24 is a stretch, to be honest with you. I mean, I think you're accurate. Her play has some incredible quality to it. The difficulty we're having is that she's probably a 17 to 20 minute a game player right now in her present conditioning. You know, we're working at it, and I think we all feel that we'll make some progress. But you've identified an issue, you know. I mean, this is a very good player that we like to play 25 minutes a game, and we did play her 24, but, you know, to be honest with you, she's about a 20-minute-a-game player in regard to that. So whereas we're pleased with her basketball progress, we would love to take this to a little more pronounced role as the season rolls on. If you see us playing her 25 minutes at the end of the year, you'll know that we've accomplished some of that, not only from a conditioning standpoint, but from a play standpoint. If she gave us 25, that would up us a notch, I think, in our effectiveness.
You know, you've dealt with so many players over the years and so many situations. Have you ever dealt with a situation where a player needs to do what she's got to do for herself and just seems to almost fight you about it?
Well, it's not a matter of her fighting me personally. I think of it more. Well, there's two parts to this, and I think one of the reasons that she works with us is that we do recognize what she can do right now. You know, we're not all about what she can't do, you know. We do appreciate what she can do. But the reality of it is in the WNBA, we touch her for about, you know, 5-6 months at best. You know, and then she's off to Italy or somewhere else, you know. Like I thought last year, A&M did a great job with her, brought her into us, and then I thought we continued the momentum, you know, in regard to Danielle. And we love coaching Danielle, but I've never coached a player who I think gives me everything she's got, but conditioning could take her to a whole nother. If she was in another level of conditioning, as good as she is, there's a notch, and I mean a big notch, she could even go to. So our hope is that through the years we get closer to that big notch we're talking about.
You know, and hopefully, yes, absolutely. Hopefully it'll come through. I mean, she's a delightful kid. I've had her on the show before and talked to her when she was at A&M. And, you know, we're certainly only wishing her the best. And, you know, she needs to do like Jane did. You know, you look at Jane Appel, and she has an entirely different physique from when she was in college. And she's become much more impressive from that aspect. And she's giving you good rebounding off the bench.
Yeah, she is. And the thing that people need to really know about Danielle Adams is she's one of one of the brightest players I've ever coached. She really is a bright young woman in so many ways. And she has point guard skill in that body. I mean, she can make touch passes. She can make shots. she can make decisions passing wise. And, you know, the reality of it is that she's a very good player for us. We would just like to have a larger dose of this very good player. And hopefully the future will get it. You know, it's a process where I think Danielle has a chance with kind of acclimating to being a professional basketball player to accomplish some amazing things. We're just going to keep pushing for those amazing things.
Yeah, I mean, if you saw the start of that Connecticut game, if people saw it, I mean, she opened the game with 8 straight points to start the game. And, you know, people have saw her in the NCAA tournament and the things that she did last year when she was actually on path to possibly be Rookie of the Year until she suffered that injury. And I'm sure that had an impact on things as well. I mean, there's no question that this kid can play the game, and she is young. So, you know, as you said, she'll get it and she'll learn. And, you know, the last thing we want to do here is beat on something like this. So, you know, we'll move on. And there's so many other great stories on your team. You know, you've got people like Gia Perkins who seem, you know, the numbers haven't been there so far for Gia, but she seems to be playing really strong on the court. You know, she's doing all those little things. You know, 3.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, a couple of steals. You know, she's just that nice complimentary piece.
Yeah, she's a excellent, I think, part of this team, and she's versatile. You know, I mean, ideally, I would love to have her be an energy player off the bench. If we can find that luxury at a certain point as our team develops, Gia is one of those sparks because she can create play, and she can not only for herself but for others. And I would love if this team would evolve and give me the opportunity to maybe bring Gia off the bench and let her kind of spark those minutes and really play to her in an aggressive sense. And that would be if our team finally gets to a point where I'm, the role delineations are perfect, that's what I'd like to see. You know, we'll just have to see. You know, right now she started for us because of kind of where our team's evolving. But boy, what a great energy player she was a year ago and could be again off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned your reluctance to throw the rookies into the fray. Now, is that something that you could see Shanice Johnson possibly swapping places with Gia, or should we look for something more like Kristen when she's back to closer to 100%?
Well, I think Kristen is the one that down the road that, you know, if we could get size at the 3 position and then hit teams with Johnson Shanice Johnson coming off the bench and some of those, you know, that we're talking about, I just think that would really boost our attack a little bit, you know, kind of what we're doing. And Gia is another one. I could envision this team if you know, with Meek getting healthy, having Shanice Johnson and Gia Perkins come into the game and provide that kind of attack. Oh boy, that's where we'd like to go someday. But I don't know when we'll get there. You know, it's a matter of time to a degree.
That's becoming more and more of an increased need and role in the WNBA as the rosters get deeper, it seems. You know, Connecticut was the perfect example the other night when you played them, with Renee Montgomery being moved to the bench and coming off and being their leading scorer. It just seems that, you know, the evolution seems to be the big posts all of a sudden, and also, you know, getting that bench production has become so much more important.
No, it really has. I mean, if you look at our game, as good as Tina Charles was in that basketball game, Asia Jones was in that basketball game, the separation factor was Renee Montgomery coming off the bench. You know, she was the player that I thought really separated us from Connecticut that given evening. And I think the teams have gotten better, to your point. And I think as a coach, I spend a lot more time trying to analyze putting talents together in my rotation, because I think it's called for, and it often is a very important part of the totality of your offensive attack, you know. And we have a plan in place, and hopefully the health and the repetitions of players getting back on the court will allow us to really develop that second wave of attack that I think is a separation factor between some good teams and some excellent teams.
You know, it's really interesting when you look at the roster page on the website of your team and you see, you know, Tangela Smith, 14 years, Becky and Tully, 13 years. Then you got Danielle, the two Danielles with 1 year experience, Jane with two. You got the two rookies in there. I mean, your roster is definitely an interesting mix of, you know, veterans that enjoy sharing their experiences and wisdom and young players that like to soak it up.
And that's pretty much it. That's exactly what we're trying to do a little bit. You know, it's an artful thing when you're not in the lottery. You know, we haven't been in the lottery for 5 years, 6 years, I guess, now. And so you're picking in the middle of the first round to the end of the first round through those years. And it's an artful thing to try to do that in today's WNBA. And that's a little bit of what you're seeing.
So tell us about Danielle Robinson, one of the most exciting players, I think, with the ball in her hands. You know, she needs to up her assist, but how many point guards are shooting 72%?
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you, you know, I mean, she might be the fastest player in the league with the ball. She's really explosive in that regard. The thing that we have been able to do with Danielle is get her to understand a little bit of value in the basketball with that speed. You know, she's not a player that plays wildly with the ball. Now, I think as she evolves, what you're going to see in her right now is what you see the north-south speed in a lot of situations. You see her, she's actually an excellent free throw shooter and an excellent kind of mid-range shooter right now. But what you're going to see with her is a mid-range game that includes passing. And that's the next step for this young lady. And she's a very bright player. She is extremely hardworking and oh so quick with the basketball. But that's the next thing you're going to see. You're going to see her learn to change speed. Right now she's got a pedal to the metal, you know, and then she's got one that's just comfortably driving at 55, you know. And we'd like to take her into some states where they allow you to drive 70, you know, and kind of put her in there. Yeah, let her go at that change of speed thing and a mid-range game. But she's fun to coach. She's fun to watch. I think she's going to continue to establish herself in this league as a good point guard.
And I tell you, going back to the days when she was at OU, I used to half expect her to end up in the cameraman in the baseline each year. Each time she drives down the court.
Right.
So, well, Dan, you've got this break in the middle of the year this year, and you got all these young players. It seems to me that's something that could really benefit your team, being able to look at the team at midseason and say, okay, now we're going to be able to have a little bit of a mini camp again.
No, I think it's real important with this team. I think it's real good. You know, Becky's going to be gone playing for Russia and the Olympics. The rest of us will be here. You know, we had the benefit of studying it 4 years ago. And, you know, we learned some things, and hopefully we'll be able to use that time wisely from a recovery standpoint, but also from a preparation for the second half of the season. I know a year ago, or 4 years ago, we were kind of pleased with how we used that period. And I think this group, maybe even more so, it's beneficial too because of the youth.
You know, so, and Becky said that she is not going to miss any games?
Correct.
Well, that's a nice benefit, that's for sure. Yeah, I will say, though, I was kind of disappointed having talked to her before, and I know how important and how much it meant to Sophia Young to be able to be a part of the senior national team at least last year. I was disappointed for her that she wasn't selected to play.
Yeah, so I think opportunities are probably in the future. She became a citizen of the United States just last, I believe, September, in that area there, maybe August. I think it was August. And so she's only been a part of the pool since that time. And I think Sophia's young and to a point that there's a lot of future in relation to Sophia. And she is so prideful, too, of the fact of being an assistant, a citizen of the United States, that it's fun for her to now be in that USA pool and to be striving to represent the country that she now has worked so hard to become a part of. So I think there's a lot of future in Sofia, and whereas I'm sure she'd like to be a part of the Olympics this year, I've got a feeling she's got a run and a couple more coming up.
Well, that would be great, because you could just hear the pride in her voice when I talked to her about it, and how much
yeah.
she wanted, how much she wants to do that. You know, you certainly want to reward the people that work hard and do everything that they can to be a part of these things.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, you know, well, that's one thing about your team, though, Dan. Nobody can ever accuse you of not having a team that plays hard and a team that is full of good people. So I want to wish you the best of luck in dealing with this ridiculously difficult conference this year. Can you have Minnesota traded back to the East?
Yeah, I think there was a time where they talked about, you know, restructuring. Would have been nice if Minnesota right on the border would have gone east, but they're really good. You know, they've got the team returning in an almost kind of consistent way from a year ago. What I'm seeing early with them is very impressive. Very, very, very impressive.
Well, hopefully it'll be a great season where everybody will be involved all the way up until the end. I'm sure that you're going to keep your team in the race, no question about that. There's a lot of great talent on this team, as well as all the other ones in the West, so I'm sure you guys are going to be beating on each other. And you're certainly going to see enough of them in the near future. I mean, no question about that with this schedule that you guys
yeah.
have ahead of you. I mean, you're going to be certainly sick of Candace Parker by the end of June.
Yeah, we've had some really wonderful, wonderful moments with L.A. as far as great games, but I tell you, that's not a great thought in your mind, is how you're going to guard Candace Parker. You know, I think I'd much rather be thinking about other things. Unfortunately, this year, we're going to give an awful lot of thought to that one.
Yeah, three times in the month of June, for anybody that doesn't know. You know, there's a span where there's five games, two with Seattle and three with Los Angeles. Just a barrel of laughs.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of get to the point where, to be honest with you, is I know who we play next. I know we got Chicago tomorrow, and I'm pretty foggy from then about on, you know, because if you start looking ahead, it's just like, oh, gosh, you're not in position to sleep well at night. You just better concentrate on who you got at hand, and then you can kind of go day to day.
Hey, that's why you have assistants, right?
It is, and that's what they do for me.
All right, well, Coach, I'll let you go. I really want to thank you for taking time. On this day, you know, hopefully all those sirens around you didn't have anything to do with where you're headed. And they weren't looking to pull you over for being on the phone, so.
No, it's just me working and driving. So there you
all
go.
Right. Well, Coach, good luck to you. Enjoy the next part of the season, and we'll talk to you again soon, hopefully.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate your following of the league and women's basketball in general. What a great sport. You do a great job of appreciating it for the people that listen. So we'll look forward to talking to you in the future.
Yes, sir. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.